Thanks so much, Greg. I am thrilled to be backstage with our diva, Susan Graham. Susan, that was breathtaking.
Thank you so much. Kind of takes my breath away, too.
Those songs from the Auvergne by Joseph Canteloube that you just sang, they are so enchanting. And he wrote 5 volumes of these songs. How and why did you choose these particular 7 to grace us with?
Well, I did a little bit of research. I spoke to some friends of mine who had performed these songs before, and I listened to a lot of recordings, and it sort of seemed like this was a compilation which showed range and a variety of tempo and mood, and Bailero is the most well-known of the songs, so that's why we started the group with that song. And then the last song, the lullaby, Brezarola, I actually have sung before and I've recorded it, but we wanted to end it on a kind of soft note, almost as an encore kind of feeling. But it's been a great introduction for me to these songs because I've never performed them before.
What's your philosophy of choosing music for concerts, recitals, and CDs?
Well, you know, there's so much music and so little time in a lifetime of performing, you know. But for me, it's really is a pure combination of music and the storytelling. If it's great music but the story doesn't appeal to me, it's hard for me to commit fully to it. And certainly if it's an interesting, compelling story but the music doesn't grab me, that's even harder. If I had to choose weight of preference of one over the other, I think the music would have to grab my heart primarily. Concert work and recital work is so intimate and so exposing. I got married 4 months ago, and I've noticed that since then, my heart just seems to be so open, and I cry easily, and I feel joy rapturously, you know, even more than usual. And I think that it really has gotten into my music making too a little bit. This is really true confessions. I feel like I should be lying down on a couch right now telling you this, but it's true though. And doing these new songs, I have really enjoyed this new sort of expressive freedom and putting my heart into it all the way.
A singer like yourself brings so much to the interpretation of the text. And these songs are set to folk verse. What's the difference between singing a song set to folk verse versus, say, a great poem by Paul Verlaine, you know, in a Debussy song, or Heinrich Heine in a Schubert song?
It's really just the sound of the words that's different. Because even in these songs, in my score, printed is the Occitan dialect, which is what I'm singing. And then underneath that is the same text in French. But it's all about communicating a feeling and communicating a thought, an idea, a feeling, an expression. And whether it's a Heine poem or a Verlaine poem, or, for instance, in German, an equivalent is the Knaben Wunderhorn songs of Mahler. They're not in particularly a dialect, but some of them are slightly in a dialect, a sort of Viennese dialect. You're telling a story, no matter who wrote the story or whether it's folklore, you're still telling a story, and that's really what's most important to me.
Well, I wish the audience who's listening today could have seen your facial expressions, your hand gestures, your dancing. It just added so much.
Well, I guess that's part of being open and receptive to how the music makes me feel, because I figure if I'm having a good time, hopefully the listeners and the viewers can have a good time too. I want people to be able to enjoy it. That's one of the things that is very important to me, no matter what kind of performance I'm doing.
You mentioned the dialect. How did you find the right pronunciations for that particular dialect, which isn't spoken that much, I guess?
No, and it's kind of folkloric language that isn't written very much or read particularly. It's passed down in an oral tradition, you know, like a lot of those sort of mountain languages are. And it's particular to a region in the center of France, almost smack dab in the middle. It's a very mountainous region. That's why there are so many songs about shepherds and shepherdesses and loneliness. Uh-huh. There aren't a lot of people up there, I think. But I did some research. Actually, there was one woman who did a doctoral dissertation on Bailero, and that's really the only one that has the songs written out in IPA, International Phonetic Alphabet, which is sort of a concrete dictionary for linguists and singers where the sounds are mapped out definitively. However, it's not a definitive language, so there's a lot of room for interpretation. There is room for variation. There are, even in recordings, you'll hear some singers who pronounce it with a more French kind of rule book, you know, not pronouncing final consonants as we don't in French very often. And then some that go more, the more Spanish route, which is pronouncing the final consonants. There are elements of Spanish in this language, the vowel combinations and the way that the vowels are pronounced. So, you know, I discussed it with Yannick, and I listened to a bunch of recordings, and just what feels most expressive. Actually, it's funny, because a friend of mine, Véronique Jean, wonderful French mezzo-soprano, recorded these songs, and she's actually from that region. So, although she tends to lean more towards the French pronunciation, I took my cue from her in a lot of these things.
Just hearing you talk about the depth to which you studied the language and the way you would pronounce things, I think a lot of us in the audience would be curious as to the mental preparation of a top-level singer like yourself.
That's a really good question. I have a lot of family members who are sort of newcomers to the world of music, to professional music practices, and they're always amazed at how much time it takes. You know, audience members sometimes go to these operas and these performances, and they don't realize that we've been working for months, sometimes years, on a role or preparation for these songs and learning these songs. You know, these are, as I stated before, all new songs for me. I started studying them early last fall, and an opera role takes a lot longer than that. It's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of study of the language. Now, my biggest hurdle with these songs is to not pronounce them in French. So the mental preparation for a performance, really, in music like this, folklorish music, is just to get myself in a kind of, not a rustic mood, but a kind of jaunty, for the jauntier songs. But then the sad songs are just beautiful sad songs, you know, like any other. They're so sad. There's a lot of abandonment on those mountaintops, yeah. Apparently. And the orchestra does all that work for me too, you know, those plaintive melodies and the oboes with those themes. And it almost sounds to me like the most heart-squeezing Puccini at times. As in anything, you just have to be open and in the moment and prepared to let the music hit you and make a decision on the spot.
Your voice is your instrument. What are you doing these days to take care of that instrument?
I take a lot of vitamins. I have antiseptic wipes that I wipe down any surface in an airplane or a train that I'm on that, you know, thousands of other people have touched before me. This is the time of year when you have to be particularly diligent. I'm drinking a lot of water. We do the best we can, and sometimes you can avoid it, and sometimes you just can't, but knock on wood, so far so good.
What projects coming up are you very excited about that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'm returning this spring to an opera that was actually written for me in the year 2000, Dead Man Walking by Jake Heggie. I'm returning in the role of the convict's mother, not in the role of Sister Helen, which I premiered. But 17 years later, I'm doing the convict's mother, which is a whole other chapter of heartbreak. Talk about turning yourself inside out. This is one that's very, very difficult emotionally, but very powerful and very important. It's difficult to get through, to perform, but boy, has it had an amazing life in those 17 years since he wrote it. It's been done all over the world in more productions and more performances than I think any modern opera has been, certainly in the last 30 years. So I'm really excited about that at the Washington National Opera. And then later on in the spring, I'm doing a concert of Mahler's Knab und Wunderhorn, more folkloric songs, with the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra at Carnegie Hall at the end of May.
Oh, that all sounds so fantastic. Well, we can't thank you enough for spending time with us, Susan. It was just fabulous to meet you and hear your thoughts about music.
It's always thrilling to be here with this amazing orchestra and your wonderful music director, Yannick.